focus of this particular passage this evening, God is my strength. That is the focus. Sometimes, as I've said before, when you study a passage, you look at a passage, it's very, very obvious, very clear what the thread that's running through it is. Other times, you just have to think and pray and study a little bit more to maybe get there. But in one sense, we can be very, very definite that God is my strength is a very strong thread running through this passage. And the reason that we can be sure about that is because we're told in another part of the Bible. And if you have your Bible, I would ask you to turn, I'm not going to read much from it, but turn to Psalm 59. And Psalm 59. And at the beginning of Psalm 59, certainly I've got an NIV in front of me. And in some of the Psalms, there's a little bit of information. And it says here in my NIV, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy of David, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. That's 1 Samuel chapter 19. And if you were to take time to read that psalm, I've just put up on the screen there two verses. And in many ways, that's the thread running through Psalm 59. Verse 9 of Psalm 59 says, O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress. And verse 17, O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. And so that's an interesting little clue. And in fact, we'll maybe come back to this again. There's a number of psalms around that area of the 50s of the psalms where David actually tells us about the part of the story that we're looking at that inspired him. So that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That in the midst of all that David was facing, that he also, under God, found time to put something down on a piece of paper. And remember, David was a very gifted young man. He was not only a fighter, he was a fighter, but he was a poet. That's an interesting combination. You get some fighters, and the last thing that they'd be interested in is poetry or writing or words. But David was a very interesting young man and a very gifted young man. Last week, we thought about how different people reacted to how David was becoming successful. We saw some people who took it really well, and we then saw particularly Saul, who took it really badly. And that theme is continuing as we uncover more of this story. And if you like, we could put it this way. Saul may have been against David, but God was for David. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so God is my strength. That is just the theme that I want to pick up on this evening, just for a limited time. God is my strength. And the first thing I just want you to see from this passage in 1 Samuel is that theme is just seen in difficult days. How do you cope with difficult days? How do you cope when things just are very, very difficult? Because the truth of the matter is, here this evening, and this is a remarkable thing, there's not one person, and I know I'm repeating myself, but that's what teachers do at times. There's not one person here this evening that could honestly stand up and say, I don't have any difficult days. Not one of us. Not one. So how do we cope? This whole period in David's life is literally shot through with difficulty and real danger, real danger. David's life here at times is on the edge. It really is. Saul's jealousy has got the better of him. Jealousy can get the better of any of us if we're not careful. Jealousy, as I said last week, is a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. And jealousy had got the worst of Saul. And also, it would seem from this whole section that Saul's, if I could put it this way, Saul's mental health, there's something not quite right also with Saul here. Saul is very erratic. And it speaks here about the way the language of the Bible is that an evil spirit is coming upon him, and I think that's one way of the writers under God describing that Saul has these terrible mood swings. And remember, when it says an evil spirit from the Lord, that is not to be understood, of course, in the sense that God sent an evil spirit upon him. I think it teaches us that under God this happened. This was allowed to happen. So we have in the passage, back in chapter 18 and verse 11, Saul tries to kill David. Chapter 18 and verse 17, he plots against David. Chapter 18 and verse 25, he's plotting against David. So there's difficult stuff going on here. And yet, in the midst of it, here's an interesting thing. In the midst of all of these difficulties, there is also romance and marriage. Because David, might be a surprise, David gets married to Saul's daughter. We're told that in chapter 18 and verse 27. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage. You see, Saul couldn't use his daughter against David. He would have, I think. But Michal loves David. And the difficulty in which young David found himself is summarized when you read the words at the beginning of chapter 19. It's there, plain and simple. Let me read them to you again. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. He had just, at some stage before this, given his daughter to David to be his wife, but Saul wants rid of David. So it's very, very difficult, and that theme of God's protection and the multiple deliverances of David is the theme of this passage. So God is my strength. Very difficult days. We can all face difficult days. I suspect none of us are quite in the situation that David was in. But here's the other thing that I want you to see. God is my strength. It's seen in different ways. So what I just am going to do now is I just want to literally draw to your attention the way that God brings a protection to David in different ways. Some of the ways are pretty straightforward. Some of the ways are maybe a wee bit hard to understand, actually. But there's basically three ways in which this happens in this passage. First one is through the intervention of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, as you know, Jonathan is Saul's son. And Jonathan and David really liked each other. There seems to be this very special bond between them. And again, I don't have to spend a whole lot of time here, but the first seven verses basically recount how Jonathan goes to talk to his father, Saul, and says, Saul, dad, whatever he called him, you know, David is a good lad. Why are you trying to kill him? Like, he killed Goliath. He has been a blessing to us. Why are you trying to kill this young man? He's married to your daughter, by the way. And so Jonathan has this conversation with Saul, and then Saul says, okay, verse 6, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. But you see, underneath the surface, Saul is not actually a trustworthy person. He's using the Lord's name here, and yet he's going to break this in a short space of time. So the intervention of Jonathan brings refuge to David at this point. And then there's this interesting account of Michal, David's wife, intervening. And basically she says, verses 11 through to 18, she gets wind of the fact that David's life is in great danger, and she says, David, you're going to have to run from this house, you're going to have to escape. She helps him to escape. And then there's this part of the story which is really raises other questions about how she basically pretends and puts stuff into the bed and pretends that it's David in the bed, etc., etc. And it's really not true at all. And there's all sorts of questions maybe about that. But still, in the sovereign purposes of God, God uses this to deliver David. And then we have this even more mysterious account at the end of the passage from verse 18 to verse 24, where it would seem that God does something very directly and intervenes. So we have this story where basically David has fled to be with Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and Saul finds out he's with Samuel at a particular place, and he sends men, I want you to go and get David, okay? And they go, and something happens, and it's hard even in the commentaries to have a precise understanding of what's happening here, but basically something happens under God, and these men are touched by God, whatever way you would want to say it, and they begin to prophesy. So the last thing they're thinking about is getting rid of David. They're taken over by something else under God. More men are sent, and the same thing happens. And then Saul is sent, and the same thing happens to him. Now, this, I believe, is a direct intervention by God. It's a bit strange. I can't fully explain all that's going on here. It's a bit mysterious. But I believe that it's essentially an illustration of God at work to protect his servant, David. You see, God can use a good friend like Jonathan, very straightforward. God uses a Michal, even though there might be questions about exactly all that she was doing. And there are other times in life when God just steps in directly. I think of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 2, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? And there was a sense here in which you could almost say that these people are against David, but God is for David. Saul, you're against David, but God is for David. You're plotting in vain, Saul, because I'm for this man. He's not going to be touched. Those who would raise hands and voices against God's work have God to deal with. And you see, that's one of the deeper lessons that comes from this. It is difficult to explain all that's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 19. But the important thing, if you like, is not to try and work out what was this prophesying all about, but I believe simply to see the sovereign protection of God through the work of his Spirit upon his servant David as he faced real danger and difficulty. God is his strength. God is his strength. And I don't know exactly the moment, obviously, whenever David wrote Psalm 59. But that's what was in David's heart. Isn't that a lovely thought that we can see that? We can know that because he puts it down on paper. God is my strength. God has been with me. Folks, tonight, are you going through difficult days? Are you facing uncertain times? God is your strength. If you know God, if you've trusted in God through his Son, Jesus Christ, if you're resting upon the Lord, then God is your strength. God is your strength. Take that to your heart. Believe that. Rest on that. Saul may fling javelins at David and come against David. And there may be javelins flung at us by others. And when I say us, I mean Christian people, the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe through different circumstances in life, in the midst of the daily trials and worries and concerns. But here's the wonderful truth tonight, folks, that no matter how much is flung at us or what is flung at us, God is our strength. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our fortress. All things. Yes, let us believe this. All things work together for good to those who are loved of God and called according to his purpose. All things. Rest in that, even in the midst of the questions and the tears. And that can become a profound strength to you. And really what I want to do just to, because what I'm trying simply to do is, when you think of 1 Samuel 19, God is my strength. That's what Psalm 59 and 1 Samuel 19 are all about. In the midst of the difficult days that we face, God is able to work out his purposes in very different ways. Sometimes in ways that we cannot understand. Sometimes in ways that are very obvious. And let me just maybe tie this together by giving you a more recent illustration of this. I don't know if you know the name of John G. Patton. John G. Patton was born in the year 1824. He was born in a little place just north of the town of Dumfries in Scotland. And he became a preacher, and he went as a missionary to the South Pacific Ocean. Specifically, he went to a place called the New Hebrides. And if you're interested in finding out more about John G. Patton, if you're interested in books, John Piper has a book, Filling Up the Afflictions of Christ. And he has a notable chapter on this. And why I'm telling you, and I'm going to just share a couple of things that Patton said, is because I think it's a very good illustration of 1 Samuel 19. God is my strength. Now, Patton went to the New Hebrides without going into all the details at that point. He lost his family within a short space of time. He was on his own. There had been people who had, Christian people who had said to him, they were probably very well-intentioned people, Mr. Patton, do not go. You mustn't go there. Those people will kill you. They'll kill you. You shouldn't go. Let me read you something. Now, let me read you something that is directly what John G. Patton said before I make my main point. A certain person said to him, Mr. Patton, the cannibals, you'll be eaten by cannibals. Now, forgive me if you don't like this sort of talk, but this is what he said. Patton responded. He mentioned the man's name. Well, not that it really matters now. The man's long gone. It was a Mr. Dixon. He says, Mr. Dixon, you're advanced in years, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honouring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. Now, pray straight talk. Maybe make some people feel slightly uncomfortable. But that was what Patton was like. But here's the point. I want to just read a couple of things that he said. And the reason I'm doing this is because Patton found himself in great danger. Great danger. Like, it is only literally in the providence of God that he survived this place. He was there for years. Let me quote you a couple of things. Quote, in the midst of the danger, he said this, quote, my heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw him watching all the scene. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. The assurance came to me as if a voice out of heaven had spoken that not a musket would be fired to wound us, not a club prevail to strike us, not a spear leave the hand in which it was held, vibrating to be thrown, not an arrow leave the bow, or a killing stone the fingers, without the permission of Jesus Christ, who is all power in heaven and on earth. He rules all nature, animate and inanimate, and restrains even the savage of the South Seas. Now, those are remarkable words from a man who had already lost some of his family. I think he had remarried, and some of his new family were with him, and they were living in constant danger. And he says this, and I quote again, did ever a mother run more quickly to protect her crying child in danger's hour than the Lord Jesus hastens to answer believing prayer and send help to his servants in his own good time and way, so far as it shall be for his glory and their good? It's really quite moving, the life of John G. Patton. He is, in many ways, a modern-day example of David, who in the midst of the javelins and the spears and whatever, God is my strength. God before us, who is against us? And John G. Patton literally found himself in that situation. And he says, Lord, I'm here as long as you want me to be here. Not one day more, not one day less. And it's literally in your hands. So folks, tonight as I finish, maybe if something of that spirit could be put into us, that it would give us a little bit more courage and boldness, dare I say, and strength to be Christian people. And even though the cynics and the javelins and whatever I'm sure they're not literal, but metaphorical, may fly, that we will stay constant and true to the gospel and faithful to what God has called us to be, because God is my strength. Jesus is my strength. This is the testimony of the Christian believer. And I finish by quoting those words that from Psalm 59, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God." Folks, if we can get something of that spirit under God, that will be a profound strength to us. It will really help us to grow in our faith in the midst of difficult days, and we will see God at work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we've been able to think about young David and how you were his strength. And we've illustrated it towards the end, Lord, with a few examples from the life of John G. Patton. Lord, help us in 2018, in our situation, Lord, in our families, in our communities. Lord, help us also to prove that God is my strength. Lord, make it real. Make your faithfulness real to us, we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing about that as we conclude our service, and we're going to sing just this lovely hymn that speaks of the faithfulness of God in lots of different ways. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father."